Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. And welcome. How you doing? Oh, at last the sun is shining. It's just lovely, isn't it? It makes such a difference. I really hope you've got a nice weekend lined up, depending on when you're listening to this, of course. We've had some a really interesting week in the Sober Club, actually. It's been a lot of ups and downs. And one of the groups that I'm part of personally, a kind of a meditation group, a lot of people have been talking about just how frenetic the energy has been. And I don't know if that's something you've been feeling, that feeling of almost, I don't know, that lovely word, discombobulated. I've definitely been feeling that this week, sort of a little bit up and down and feeling a little bit flat, not even quite sure why. And of course, that's incredibly common when you're early days sobriety. I've had a few people who are working with me on, we've got like a 12-week accountability package, and I've had a few messages from people saying, you know, I felt really good for a couple of days and now I feel really flat. And it's this thing we've spoken about before. It's perfectly OK. You know, we're not very good at welcoming all emotions, and we certainly don't like the, you know, the uncomfortable ones. But actually, it's all part of life. And what we really want is we think we want the highs all the time. But of course, what we really want is not the high, because it's not sustainable. We want the balance, don't we? Really, that's what we actually kind of crave, is that sense of being balanced. And of course that includes feeling great and feeling, you know, high energy and having your mojo, and it also includes sometimes, you know, having a bit of a duvet day, or however you describe it. I'm kind of talking to myself as much as to you guys, because that's how I've been feeling lately. And I definitely think there's something in the air, something in the energy that's going on. One of the things that helps most when you do feel like that is you know, all other things being equal, obviously, if you do the obvious things first. You check whether you're, you know, halt. Remember that? Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Check that first, because actually, often when you start to feel out of sorts, you just need some good, nutritious food. And obviously, if you're angry, go punch a cushion. And if you're lonely, connect with us on the Sober Club or wherever you connect. And if you're tired, have a nap. But if it's kind of something else, then one of the things that helps the quickest, as it were, makes the change for you very fast to change your state, is just do some grounding. Just take your shoes off and put your feet on the earth. It really makes a difference. Actually, grounding, just getting back in touch with the earth, makes a difference. All the beach, of course, that there works just as well. And talking of the beach, we've got our Sober by the Sea event this weekend. The next one that we have coming up will be Saturday, June the 11th. We've got some spaces on that. It's in sunny Southend, and it'll be lovely to welcome you on that. Very small group. We create a vision board. We look at what it is you want for your life, which is something that we often don't step back and take time for, actually. And it includes a little bit of a one-to-one. And it's a day that really helps to kind of transform your own decisions, really, and just sort of cement what it is you've decided you want, which, as I say, a lot of us don't spend time doing, particularly if we're busy and we're thinking about other people and we've got families and work and goodness knows what. We very rarely actually stop and visualize what our own life will look like in, I don't know, 6 months' time, a year, 5 years. Scary, isn't it, sometimes when you think like that? I did ask, I did a little post in the Sober Club group this week, just a bit of fun, really, and asking people to kind of imagine that if the fairy godmother had waved a magic wand and they were literally living their dream life, what would be the first thought when they woke up? You know, how would they almost know that it was thus? And it was really interesting, because sometimes the answers you give to that give you a little bit of insight. I mean, I know it's just a bit of fun. And of course, there's usually lots of talk about, you know, private jets and stepping off your luxury yacht or whatever it might be. And it's great fun to, you know, to just visualize something that actually rationally you wouldn't actually really want for your life. But sometimes we say things that we then kind of pull ourselves up and think, wow, actually, I've voiced that now And I really do want that. And I wonder how I can put steps in place to achieve it. Or sometimes it just makes you actually grateful for what you've already got when you realise that your first thought wouldn't necessarily be very different from the thought it is now. I mean, certainly since being sober, you know, people very often report that their first thought, and mine definitely is this, their first thought when they wake is, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful to get to, you know, have another day not messed up by booze. It's I think that feeling is just ongoing. It really never leaves you. It's absolutely amazing that it's such a thing after years and years and years, you know, for some people. I just want to read you a couple of other little things that we'd had going on in our groups. I think sometimes the Sober Club, our private group, is such an amazing insight into a whole cacophony of what's going on across different stages. Because as you know, we've got people in the group who are just starting out, and people have been sober for literally years and years and years, because there's always the what's next, right? There's always something else. But I just thought I'd read you a couple of these. One woman says, it's day 30 and I had a horrible day yesterday. Very tempted to drink, but I played it forward because I wanted to hit the milestone. And I'm certain that being part of this community is what's helped me to stay sober. So thank you. And I thought that was really interesting. A couple of things about that post. Number one, great to recognise that, you know, you can do 30 days sober. This is why the dry Januaries, you know, need to be kind of thought about really carefully. You know, always go for 6 weeks, not four, or preferably 2 months. But wanting to hit the milestone that you've set for yourself is really important. But not if you're kind of thinking to yourself, oh, and then I can drink again at the end of it. But the fact that, you know, this person says, they played it forward. They wanted to hit that milestone, so it kept them going. And they knew they were part of a community, so it holds them accountable. And also just to remind everyone that, just as I started this podcast saying, that sometimes we have days that are just a bit crap. And it was like that when we were drinking too, right? sometimes we have really miserable, flat days, and then we think, oh, wouldn't it be better off if I was drinking? Well, no, actually, it certainly wouldn't. That's the fading effect bias. That's that feeling of, oh, it was all great in the past. We did a session for our Sober Club coaches with William Porter, and he explains this concept of the fading effect bias really, really well. So I'll bring you a clip of that at some point. And then there was another really interesting post I just wanted to read to you. Obviously not identifying anybody, but somebody else here says, I didn't really understand what was meant by setting boundaries, but I've been put in a difficult position by a friend. Previously made me amend all of mine and my family's plans to accommodate someone else. It was this person says, it put a lot on me, but I was able to step back from the anxiety and see what was happening clearly. And on reflection now, I can see that I've set my boundaries now, and I'm really proud of myself for sticking to them. It really feels important for myself and for my family. So thank you, Janie, and the group for helping me to see and understand this. I thought that was such an interesting post, and that's exactly how I used to feel, that I didn't feel I could stand up for myself in certain situations. I couldn't set boundaries. I felt so much guilt and pressure, and I really couldn't see that bigger picture, that actually it's an act of kindness to yourself to properly set boundaries. And while it might seem tough for other people, actually it isn't. You know, setting boundaries is exactly what we need to do. And it's so difficult to do when you're still drinking. I don't know if you heard the podcast I did sometime last year. I think it was about last July with Catherine Gray, when she was talking about her latest book, Sunshine Warm Sober. And we had a long conversation on that podcast about boundaries and just how important it is to be able to set them. So, I thought that was a really interesting post, and it's well done, you know, when people are able to recognise the importance of just doing what they know is right. We have so much better sense of what our gut is telling us when we're not drinking. We really do. My guest this week, we were talking about Sober by the Sea and Sunny Southend, and my guest this week is the lovely Michael, Michael Sargud, who I met a year or so ago when he was setting up events in Southend, just saw a need in that community for some social events, really. And of course, he's become very popular on Instagram. And I thought it would be great to catch up.
I'm so delighted to speak to Michael again, Michael Sargud, who is AKA Happy Without the Hooch. How are you doing, Michael?
Hi there. I'm not too bad, thanks, Jamie, and thanks for inviting me back.
Yeah, well, so it was a while ago, wasn't it, that we first connected when I came across the stuff that you were doing in Southend. Very early days for you, and look at the magic you're creating. It's very exciting.
Back in August, in fact.
Was it August? Okay. Yeah. So, just for anyone who didn't hear that original podcast, you just want to tell us just a little bit about your kind of story, just and how you got into all of this.
Okay, so the potted history is I struggled a lot with alcohol. I don't think I realised it at first, but it's gone beyond just binge drinking, and I was drinking out of compulsion in the end. Mm. I decided in the end to give it a boot because it was affecting every area of my life. And then when I did stop drinking, I found I was actually quite lonely and didn't know what to do with my time because all my friends were drinkers, or all the social events I'd usually attend were all geared around drinking, and I didn't want to be around it. Mm. So at that time I decided, well, let's see if I can start up a few events locally, see if anybody else is in the same boat and would like to socialize without alcohol. And I got a bit of a group together and started running some in my hometown of Southend-on-Sea, where you have your retreats.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. And I think at first, if I remember rightly, you know, you were kind of really quite surprised at the level of interest, because, you know, I think most of us tend to think that, well, everybody drinks, but of course there are plenty of people who for whatever reason don't drink but still want to go out and have fun, right?
Exactly. I was quite surprised. I thought maybe if I get two or three people who want to meet up for a coffee, but actually I had a load of people join like a little Facebook group that I'd set up, and then typically we'd have between 20 and 40 people at an event, which I think is a pretty good turnout for city as it now
city,
is.
City, yes, absolutely.
Southend-on-Sea.
Yeah, fantastic. So tell us what's happened since then, because, you know, you've been doing some great stuff on Instagram, and, you know, I know you're now really kind of going for it in terms of widening the area, as it were, and just trying to hook people up, you know, trying to get people together.
Yes, that's what my main aim is now, is really to connect people who are alcohol free and to help promote events that are alcohol free. I haven't done my own event for a while now because I'm sort of full time employed, which I wasn't when I set up, and it's hard to get the events and the venue. I haven't really got at the moment, but I am looking to do some in the summer. I found that summer was the best time because people were happy to go out. In the winter, they just wanted to stay in. But I've set up a website called sobersocials.co.uk, where I post alcohol-free events and holidays. I've got a directory of alcohol-free social groups. A lot of them are Facebook-based and regionally based. There's some great ones out there, and it took me ages to find all of the different ones. I'm not sure I've found them all yet, so if I haven't, let me know.
Yeah.
But I think I've got the main ones there. So if you're just starting your journey towards sobriety, it'll help you find social groups. I've got a sober friend finder tool, which is about 130 people have signed up to so far.
That's an interesting idea.
Well, one of the things I found with Instagram and with Facebook is I was finding people that were alcohol-free and interested in sort of alcohol-free lifestyle, but a lot of the time they'd be over in Boston in the States or in Australia. And what was tricky was finding people near me who I could maybe have a cup of tea with, or just go bowling with, or go to the cinema.
Yeah.
So it's quite a simple concept. On my website, I put a page on there. You drop in the first half of your postcode into a form and your social media handles. That way your approximate location, but not precise location, is found, because nobody wants anybody turning up on their doorstep. So just by using the first half, it'll drop a pin on the map and then display your social media handles, and then people who go onto the map can see those, and they could maybe sort of drop you a message on Instagram or Facebook, and hopefully it'll help people to connect.
I think it is so important, isn't it, this connection piece. I mean, I find it with, you know, running the Sober Club that, you know, it's great on there, you know, to have the connection and the inspiration that we have, you know, online and as part of our kind of private community. But so many people do want those face-to-face meetups as well. You know, they do want that connection of meeting real people. And what I do find is interesting, and I'm sure you've come across this, is the way people feel so nervous at the beginning because, and I know I went through it, the very first time I went to any kind of event that was I was going to meet other sober people, I felt like I was, you know, kid on my first day at school. There's something that makes us feel very nervous the first time, isn't there?
There is, and I've been giving it some thought actually, because I've been alcohol free a longer time now, and I've thought about why I did certain things. And I always used to think I was quite a confident person, like socially confident. But what I've come to realise is that I never really was. If I entered a room full of people I didn't know, that made me extremely nervous.
Yeah. But so then you'd reach for a drink.
I'd reach for a drink and all of a sudden I didn't have those nerves. And when I stopped drinking again, it really came back to me. Like, I've never really been that comfortable in social situations where I'm surrounded by strangers. But when you give up drink, you've got two choices as far as I see it. You can either hide yourself away for the rest of your life, or you can do those things that scare you until they don't scare you anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is interesting. I've done podcasts with people talking about how so often when you ditch the booze, you actually discover that you aren't necessarily the extroverted party person that you thought you were. You're actually, because an element of introversion, you're actually quite happy with your own company once you can get to find out who you really are without the booze.
Yes, and well, I think a lot of people I speak to, they have almost a mini identity crisis
when they
give up drinking. It's like, well, who am I without alcohol? Because it's been such a huge part of my life for so long.
Yeah.
Who is this person who doesn't drink? And you've got to forge a new identity. And quite happily now, I feel exactly the same way about my sobriety. I think, my God, imagine if I relapsed and started drinking again. I mean, everybody knows me as this sober person, and I really like that part of my identity. Who would I be if I was drinking again?
Yeah, so, but I guess at the beginning it was harder for you, because, you know, at the beginning people didn't know you as that person, did they? I know you've spoken in the past about, you know, the kind of, like, you know, when you rock up to the same pub that you used to go to or whatever, it's really tough, isn't it, when you actually sort of, you know, you want to hang on to some of the same social activities that perhaps you used to do in the past and some of the same friendship groups. I mean, did you find personally that some of your friendship groups just changed just by the nature of the fact that you'd changed?
Yeah, just some friendships sort of fade away naturally, just because you're not doing the same thing anymore, and others strengthen and you find new friendships as well. And I think when I gave up, I wanted all of that to happen immediately. But it really takes a long time to forge new friendships, and you have to be patient, and you have to learn to be by yourself and deal with boredom at first. I mean, that was a huge thing for me. All of a sudden I had about 30 hours a week on my hands that I would usually have dedicated to drinking or recovering from drinking or thinking or planning my drinking. And I had no idea how to entertain myself. And now I'm working full time, and I can't find enough hours in the day again, because there's so many things I want to do, and I can't do them all, and none of them involve drink. So yeah, it's been a slow process, but I'm really glad about where I am now.
Yeah, absolutely. What would you say was the hardest part for you then, personally, apart from the, you know, the social side of it? What was the hardest part?
The hardest part about stopping?
Yeah, about, you know, just about what's been happening for you over the last, you know, year or so. What's been the most difficult bit, do you think?
I think it's been, well, yeah, but there is the social side, that the coping with boredom at the beginning was really difficult. And just learning new sort of new mechanisms for dealing with unwanted emotions.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a big one, isn't it?
Not being able to drown them out anymore with drink. Yeah. It's like, oh God, I've got to find some other way of feeling less crappy now. How do I actually do that? And most of my days, I'm so much happier now because I was suffering from bad depression when I was drinking. It took me to a really low place, but I was put under the care of the local health team. My mental health is so much better now.
That's so interesting, isn't it? That it's so interesting, that link between, you know, drinking and mental health. And while no one's saying it 100% causes it, it definitely exacerbates the problem, doesn't it?
Yes. Well, if you have poor mental health anyway, it's just going to amplify those negative feelings.
It's
going to do nothing for your self-esteem if you're always feeling guilty about drinking and what you've done when you're drunk. And if you have relatively good mental health, well, we know that alcohol is actually a depressant, so you might not, or just from drinking on its own, you'll worsen your mental health. There's a very good chance of it anyway. So there's very clear links, and I think we're only really beginning to appreciate them as a society. I can see that this sober movement, well, it's becoming a movement now. More people are openly talking about sobriety, especially younger people as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Nearly a quarter of young people choosing not to drink any alcohol. And I think just the more research that's done into it, the more will be found out about those links between alcohol consumption and poor mental health.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, it is interesting, isn't it, that a lot of younger people are choosing not to drink, you know, and I mean, do you find that, because I hear differing stories on this, actually. You're probably closer to that scene than I am, but, you know, I tend to hear, you know, that we hear this statistic about millennials, that a huge number of them are choosing not to drink. But then we also hear that there's still quite a lot of binge drinking going on. I mean, I guess it varies, but what's your experience of that?
Well, I mean, I think both are true. So more of that age bracket are choosing not to drink. But among the rest of them, which is still the majority, binge drinking is still rife. I think younger people are a lot more tuned into mental health. They're learning about it in schools, and we didn't talk about mental health at all.
No, of course.
It's a really hot topic, obviously, online and in on social media. I think they're a lot more educated about mental health and like holistic wellness. They're more likely to go to the gym. They're more likely to be vegan or have, you know, special diet because that's something that interests them. So I think they're just a lot more attuned to health and wellness and more educated than we were about these topics.
Yeah, and it definitely makes a difference that there's you know, so much more, so many more people talking about it, and so many more great alcohol-free drinks around, and social events, as you know, as you're helping that scene. You know, there's much more going on. And I spoke to someone the other day who has been sober for, I don't know, I think it's 13 years. And, you know, back when she did it, I mean, there was nothing around, nothing to support, really. You were kind of on your own. It was AA meetings or absolutely nothing.
Yes, I think that was the case. I mean, that's what I wanted to contribute to, because I went to AA for a bit. It wasn't really the route for me. I'm not sort of I know it helps a lot of people, but the idea that I'd be swapping what was, I thought, a relatively fun social life at one point for sitting in often sort of breezy Quaker meeting rooms several times a week for the rest of my life. I wasn't prepared to make that swap. But one of the things I really did like about 12-step programs was the fellowship aspect, and that you got a ready-made group of people near you who you could call upon and socialize with and do things with. And that's not something that's readily available in other recovery programs. Like I've used the Smart Recovery program, which was run by my local sort of alcohol and drug team in Southend, and that had lots of useful meetings. I learned lots of useful skills and CBT, but as soon as those little meetings were over, that was it. There was no social aspect and there was no fellowship. So what I was hoping to do was plug that gap for all those people who recover, but not through 12-step programs. I mean, accessible to those who do as well, and bring them together. But as I wanted to help people who are in the same situation as myself.
Yeah, absolutely. Where do you see this then in the future? You know, what would be the kind of dream for you for this?
For me, well, I'm not going to be organising as many events directly myself. I want to be helping promote the growing number of events that are out there and help people find those events and help people find others who are like them. I want to be attending the events, not working them.
Yeah, you're going to curate them.
And there's a lot, there is some financial risk, and that's something that the whole sort of sober sphere is going to have to contend with when they put on the events, because when you go out drinking and you're alcohol free, you might have two, maybe three drinks in the night. You're not going to knock back eight alcohol free.
Yeah.
Does sort of affect the affordability.
You don't quite get the bar spend, do you?
No, you don't. So that was one of my events just about broke even. And then I had to do the accounts, which cost me £600. So it was a bit of an ouch in the end.
Yeah.
But I think when I run some again later this year, I've got better connections now. When I started before, I knew no one, I knew none of the drinks companies. But I've got better connections. And when I look to do a few events in the summer, I think they'll definitely be paying for themselves. I'm not looking to make a profit. I just want them to pay for themselves. And I want people to make new friends.
Yeah, exactly. I think what is great about what you're doing is you're really kind of opening it up to absolutely everybody. So it doesn't really matter what, you know, doesn't matter what age you are or, you know, because I just think that there's something unique about people who have ditched the booze that brings them together, irrespective of everything else, really. I just think there's a kind of a shared kind of badass approach, really.
Well, I think you can create community around just about anything.
Yeah.
And especially if you're willing to put things like age and gender aside and everything. So, I mean, if you go online, there's communities, there's like a Viking beard club I discovered recently. So, like, if guys can bond over the fact that they like Vikings and have a beard, and then I don't think sort of being alcohol-free is such a silly thing.
Maybe we should do a Viking beard alcohol-free one, see how that rocks.
There's quite a few alcohol-free Viking beard people, actually, because I featured one of them on my Instagram. That's how I found out about it all. He was part of the Viking beard club.
We'll have to be careful, otherwise we'll be accused of not being inclusive.
I know. Well, I can't imagine you can grow a very good beard.
Brilliant. And aren't you doing something in Edinburgh?
I am. I'm going on my holidays with We Love Lucid,
which is lovely.
The alcohol-free travel company. So that will be in October, at the end of October. I should know the dates off the top of my head, but I don't.
I can find
it
and put that in the show notes.
Website,
great.
And you'll see. So that's going to be a weekend in Edinburgh. There's going to be a comedy tour, alcohol-free drinks testing with Ferragaya. And we're going to be hiking up Arthur's Seat. We're going to be having some haggis neeps and tatties. And we're going to be, this is the bit I am most excited about. We're going to be going on a bagpipe workshop. So I'm going to be learning to play.
Oh, amazing.
And anyone else who comes along will be learning to play the bagpipes with me.
As long as we don't have to actually listen to that, no problem.
I think you have to listen to your own playing. It's quite hard not to.
No, I just mean the rest of us.
Oh no, I might do a little clip for my Instagram, but there's no compulsion to listen to it. I mean, the Queen, it's how the Queen likes to wake up every morning. So
is it really? I didn't know that.
Well, yeah, she wakes up. She has bagpipers play outside the palace every morning to wake her up. I don't know why she can't get an alarm clock. Each for their own.
Brilliant, Michael. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Just remind us of that website again.
So the website is sobersocials.co.uk.
Brilliant. And we know how to find you on Instagram. Thank you so much. I really appreciate
it. Thanks for your time. Cheers.
Bye. So as Michael says, don't forget, get connected. It is really important. Of course, I would love you to join the Sober Club. There is so much connection there. In addition to the online stuff that we do with our Facebook group and with the online course and with the member portal, we have regular meetups online. And of course, we do events as well. I wish they were absolutely all over the country. They're not at the moment, but that is going to start to happen because we have some Sober Club trained coaches who I'm hoping are going to start to put some things in place
place in lots of other areas around the UK, because I recognise it's all a little bit Hertfordshire or South centric at the moment. But anyways, if you can travel, because, you know, it's worth it, then do check out our next Sober by the Sea, which is Saturday, June the 11th. Then we've got a Champneys self-care and sobriety retreat at Tring in Hertfordshire. That's on Sunday the 26th and Sunday 25th, Monday 26th, I think it is. Or is it 26th, 27th? Forgive me, I've forgotten. But anyways, end of June at Tring. It's a weird one, Sunday into Monday. Going to give it a try and see if it goes. So there are spaces on that. It'd be lovely to see you at that. For all of these events, for everything that I run, unless I tell you otherwise, it really does not matter if you're sober curious or you're day one or you're week three or you are year 10 or 12 or 13. It doesn't matter. We focus absolutely on what's right for you. And people usually leave with a really strong commitment and a why, you know, and it's all about the why, isn't it? And then we've got Family Constellations Day coming up. Again, if you've not heard of Family Constellations, difficult to describe. Have a look at some of the blog posts and stuff that I've written about it. Our next one is likely to be July the 17th in Hertfordshire. Still looking for a venue further up country, but hopefully we'll work one out at some point. But our next one will be Sunday, July the 7th, 17th. That's what we're hoping for. And there could easily be some other events slotted in as well. I hope so. Make sure you register your interest. You don't have to be a member of the Sober Club, so register your interest if you want to come to any of these events. Make sure you signed up to get my kind of newsletter thingy. Just message me with your email address if you'd like to get that, and then I'll send you all the details of what's on offer. Just a quick mention as well. A few people have asked me about the advanced liver support supplement that I've spoken about in the past. As you know, I often recommend that in the early weeks. Well, I always recommend that you have good nutritious food. If you've just ditched the booze and you know you're in those early weeks, so important to balance the brain chemistry. So please think about that. Do a little bit of reading up on that. Come on the Sober Club and just look at some of the info there about the importance of really good nutrient dense food when you first stop. You know, for a good 6 weeks, don't do any fasting or any intermittent stuff or any special diets. Just really focus on good food. And in addition, a lot of people find that some supplements are really beneficial. And of course, if you can get a personalised nutrition session, that's going to be great. But if not, you know, have some of the supplements that tend to be, that most people tend to be a bit deficient in if they've been drinking for years. And that's why I work with Dr. Marilyn Glenville, and we kind of co-created this supplement, the Advanced Liver Support, because it contains so many of the things you need in the early weeks. So rather than having to take copious amounts of pills from loads of different bottles, you kind of got it all in one. So I really recommend the Advanced Liver Support. If you go onto the NHP website, they're really super helpful, and you can use the discount code Janie Lee in capital letters, Janie Lee 10%. So capital letters, Janie Lee 10%, J-A-N-E-Y-L-E-E 10%, and you'll get a 10% discount, obviously, off any of Marilyn's products. Actually, she's got some great supplements in there, including the liquid vitamin D, which of course I do strongly recommend for everyone, actually, unless you get masses of sunshine, in which case, lucky you. So anyways, I just thought I'd throw that in. It's something that I've been talking about in some of the newsletters and stuff that I've been sending. So make sure you stay connected if you want to get hold of those bits of info. And you can find me on Instagram at Janie Lee Grace. And you know where to find the Sober Club. It's just thesoberclub.com. It would be lovely to have you involved. But whatever happens, stay doing what you're doing if it's working for you, right? And if you're early stages, I've said this a lot, tell someone. If you don't want to join the Sober Club, if you don't want to join a community, if you don't want to tell your friends, just tell me. You know, you may not want to tell your close family and friends, in fact, because they haven't necessarily been there, done it, got the t-shirt. They maybe haven't got the addictive voice in their head, and they don't really know what you mean. So it's super important to tell someone who gets it. And I'm more than happy to receive your message of accountability, because when you tell someone, you make it real, right? For years and years and years, I used to make the decision with myself, you know, promise myself that, okay, tomorrow I won't drink. And then by 6 o'clock, you know, the wine witch knocks and it all starts again. And I sometimes wonder how different it would have been if, you know, on any of those occasions I had reached out and told someone who really understood. So, you know, tell someone. That's the bottom line. And if you're doing this, then give yourself a massive, massive hug. Just take care of yourself and don't forget, shoes and socks off, go and stand on the earth. See you next week. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com. We'll be right back.